The scripture reading is from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And those of you who want to follow along in your Bible, it's Luke 24, 13 through 32. Or Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. Hear God's word. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scripture to us?'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for this portion of your word, which relates to us an appearance of our Lord after the resurrection. We thank you, Father, for these two disciples with whom Jesus met. And we thank you, Father, that although they were at first sad and seemingly without hope and blind in many respects, yet this encounter with Jesus turned the tables and they were changed. We thank you for this, and we thank you for this example of how our Lord Jesus works in the lives of people like us. So help us with an understanding of this word this evening, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Lord. Amen. Imagine a square table out here, not a rectangle, but a square table. And there are three men standing next to the table. In the middle of the table is a partially filled glass. And one of the men says, "It's half empty." Well, you know the response of at least one of the other men. He says, "No, it's half full." But then there's the response of the third man who stands back a little bit with a confused and a blank expression on his face, and he says, "What glass?" This picture was given to me by a man who was suffering from a depression. And he said, this is what it's like to be in a depression. You can't even see the glass. You tell me, think about the glass being half full, but when I look at the table, I don't even see the glass. And the question then comes, what's the answer? Is there a way out of this? It seems to me that in our text this evening, the two disciples that Jesus encounters on the Emmaus Road are in a similar situation. If they were to be placed by this table, they might comment in the same way. What glass? There was a sense in which they were blind to the truth, the text tells us. And they were very sad. And the text also tells us that they lacked hope. And so what is the answer? The answer is to turn to Christ, to encounter Christ. Because Christ, through His Word, opens eyes and warms the heart. And it seems to me this is the lesson that we see in the text. And so my urging tonight is to look to Christ, to trust Christ through His Word to open your eyes and warm your heart. There are times when we're all in what some of us have called a funk. And I've heard it recently called a blue funk. I don't know exactly what the color blue has to do with it, but certainly this can be the case. At any rate, when we enter our story tonight, we're on the Sabbath day of the resurrection. And you can see this plainly at the beginning of chapter 24 in Luke. Let me read a few verses here so you understand the context. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And so here we are on the first Sabbath, the resurrection Sabbath. And these men are now, later in the day, on the road to this little town called Emmaus, which our text says is just about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they're walking along the road. And let's jump into the middle of this story, because the truth is that Jesus is alive. He is risen. And they've heard that he is risen. In verses 22 and following, it says, "But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see." And if you go back a little bit earlier in Luke 24, in verse 11, it says, "But these words appeared to them as nonsense." They didn't accept it. And you can understand why. Death to us seems final. And you're going to say to me that this man is now alive when we saw him crucified? But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe. But here on this Sabbath day, this resurrection day, in that very evening, Jesus appeared to the disciples in a closed room. And he said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. Look at my hands. Look at my side." And they rejoiced. But Thomas wasn't there. And when the report was given to Thomas, you remember what he said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the wound of the sword in his side, and I place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, Thomas is there in that closed upper room. And of course, the disciples had been in this closed room because they were afraid. And Thomas is there. And he doesn't even need to put his fingers in the palms of the Lord or to touch him. He just simply says, "My Lord and my God." The truth is, Jesus is alive. But blindness and sadness conspire against the truth. Look at our text again, verses 13 and following. "And behold, the two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." Now, it's a little difficult for us to grasp what's taking place, but they knew that this Jesus had been cruelly placed on a cross. And they knew that he gave up the ghost They knew that he had been taken down from the cross and wrapped in grave clothes and been placed in a tomb, and the stone had been rolled over the tomb. They knew all this was the case. And the last thing they would have expected was to meet this same Jesus walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And so, at least in part, you can understand why they may not have recognized him. And as they're going along, here comes Jesus. And the text says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Well, at least in part, this may have had to do with their profound grief and their profound sadness. Look at the next verses. And they said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. Here they are walking down the road, and Jesus says, "What is it you're talking about?" Well, he knew full well what they were talking about, but he wanted to elicit from them the response and enter into some discussion with them. But all of a sudden, they just came to a stop in their tracks. And you can imagine they were just looking down, droop-shouldered, and sad of countenance. This is what the Scripture tells us. Looking sad. My wife and I years ago went to a funeral of a Vietnam fellow, a young man who had been killed. And we were astonished at that funeral by the grief that was expressed. And what was so amazing was that almost every family member that stood up to speak at this funeral was announced to be a minister of the gospel of some sort. And not one word of hope was related. But there was profound grief and wailing that took place. Well, what happens? Grief and sadness can blind us to the truth. And we don't readily see the truth. And so it was with these disciples that grief and sadness and blindness conspired against the truth. And at the same time, hope seemed to vanish. Let's look at our text again, verse 19. "And he said to them, 'What things?'" And Jesus again, "What things?" "And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people.'" Yes, these two disciples had no doubt heard Jesus on more than one occasion, and they recognized him as a prophet. And it very well may be that they recognized him as the prophet promised by Moses when God said, "I will raise up a prophet like you, and the people must follow him." And of course, the reference is to the coming of Christ. And it's very likely that these disciples had heard Jesus preaching, and they had been among the crowds in the synagogue or in the streets or in the temple who responded. This Jesus, he doesn't teach us like the scribes, but he teaches as one who has authority. And this Jesus was dramatically different than the scribes, because the scribes so often depended upon the old Jewish commentators and the old Jewish writings, and they were forever quoting from the old Jewish rabbis. But Jesus came along and he spoke directly from the Word of God, from his heart. And there was an authority that was resident in his voice and in his presentation. And it was not only his teaching, but it was his deeds. These disciples, no doubt, had witnessed the miracles. Were they there when Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus? Did they hear about the trip that Jesus took across the Sea of Galilee into the area of Gadara, and where Jesus healed the man who had lived among the tombs and was violent? Did they hear that story? Very likely they did. And did they know about the double healing of the blind man? When the blind man looked and he saw men walking as trees, and then he regained full vision. And did he see the healing of the lepers? Did they? Well, the text doesn't tell us this, but they comment about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him, how he was rejected by the Jews. And yet, they said, we were hoping. You notice what the text says? We were hoping. Our hope was. They had hope at one time when Jesus, before the crucifixion, seemed so vital. And he had come into Jerusalem a week before. And you remember the story, riding on a donkey. And the people spread the palm branches out. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they recognized that he was coming into Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies of Zechariah. Your king is coming, riding on a donkey, the king of peace. And they had great hopes that this Jesus would redeem Israel. They remembered that Moses had brought Israel out of Egypt, out from under the cruel hand of Pharaoh. And they were hoping that Jesus would bring them out from under the yoke of Rome. And now their hopes were dashed. And this seems to be their situation. Hope is vanished. But the Word of God comes to the rescue. Notice what Jesus does. Look, if you would, at verses 25 and following. Jesus' response to this situation he encounters. He said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" And he began with Moses and with all the prophets, and he explained to them the things concerning himself from the Scriptures. Here's what Jesus did. First of all, Here were these men, downcast, in many respects blind, without hope. And Jesus begins to teach them from the Scriptures. And of course, since He is the object of the Scriptures, He teaches them about Himself. And He begins with Moses. Do you suppose He started with Genesis 3:15? Do you suppose that's where He started? I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise him on the head, and he shall bruise you on the heel. The first gospel proclamation. Do you suppose He started there? Or maybe He started earlier. We don't know exactly. Maybe He spoke to them about the promise given to Abraham. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Paul later says, that seed is Christ. And so he preached about himself. Do you suppose he reminded them of the story of the Israelites being in rebellion and being bitten by the serpents? And how Moses put the bronze serpent on a staff and all of Israel needed to look at that bronze serpent and they would be healed? Now, Jesus later says that just like that serpent was raised up by Moses, so the Son of Man needed to be raised up so that He would draw all men to Himself. Do you suppose He reminded them of the promise which was given by God to David, that He would erect a kingdom through David's son, a kingdom that would last forever? And do you suppose He also reminded them of the prophecy of Zechariah? Your king is coming. And in that prophecy of Zechariah, it's really the story of how the Lord will come to meet His people and defeat all of their enemies. And so it was that Jesus spoke from the prophets and spoke from Moses and taught the disciples. Well, what happened? Fellowship. Fellowship began to emerge. See, I think this is profoundly significant. Look at verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and He acted as though He were going farther. Now, you wouldn't think Jesus would play act, would you? You wouldn't think He would do something like this, that He would act as though He were going further. Well, in this case, it seems that He did. And there was a reason for this, because now these disciples were beginning to awaken, and they said to Jesus, no, don't go further. Don't go further. It's late. Stay with us here this evening. Read the text again. And they approached the village where they were going, and He acted as though He were going farther. But they urged Him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So He went in to stay with them. Fellowship is being renewed. And how is this fellowship being renewed? It's through the Word. It's through Scripture. It's through the teaching of the Word of God that fellowship with Jesus is being renewed. And then verse 30 says, when He had reclined at table with them, He took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, He began giving it to them. Well, right away we think of the Last Supper. But that's probably not the connection. The connection is more likely the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000 where Jesus took bread and He blessed it and He distributed it. It's more likely that Cleopas and his companion saw these miracles and heard Jesus on these occasions. And when they saw those familiar actions, they realized suddenly, it's Him. It's the Lord. And the text says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. Through the Word of God, fellowship begins to be restored. And through familiar actions, their eyes are opened. And Jesus vanishes. Of course, He had other things to do. He had others with whom He desired to visit, as we've already indicated. Verse 32. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us? That fellowship was being restored through the Word of God, and their eyes were opened, and their hearts were warmed. Isn't this amazing? They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us? And the idea of burning here is, on one hand, were not our hearts made light from the Word of God? The Word is a light to our path. And on the other hand, the word burning here does refer to heat. It's heat and light. And there was a warming that took place in the hearts of the disciples, these two disciples, who had been downcast, sad, and hope had vanished. And now, through the Word of God, fellowship was reestablished with their Lord. And the sadness was dispelled. And their hearts were warmed. Do you see what's taking place? How often you and I need this sort of thing to take place. You need and I need, on different occasions, the Lord Jesus to come through His Word to restore fellowship, to open our eyes, and to warm our hearts. How good Jesus is at this very thing. I got an email from a fellow a few days ago. He was responding to me because I told him this, or gave him this little picture of the table, the three men, and the partially filled glass. And he wrote back and he said, this is a very accurate description. It's like a black fog. You can't grasp anything. It is also a spiritual fog. It's very, very difficult to pray. It is as though your mind can't grasp anything. It is so thick you can't see anything. It is though a light switch has been turned off. Even simple pleasures are joyless. There is no peace. And then, of course, the anxiety comes. And he ended with this question: will this ever end? And I wrote back and I said, it will end. It will end. And in God's providence, I was working on this passage of Scripture to come to visit with you this evening. And it's so plain that the way the sadness and the despondency and the lack of hope ends is through Jesus coming to you and to me through His Word to open our eyes and to warm our hearts. And so that's the lesson for this evening. Look to Jesus. Oh, any of us can be despondent. And what is the answer? To look in? No. It's to look out to Christ. It's to look to Christ and to say, Lord Jesus, come to me through your word to open my eyes and to warm my heart. Trust Christ to use his word to open your eyes and to warm your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this story of these two disciples on the Emmaus Road and how Jesus encountered them. We pray, Father, that your Son, our Lord Jesus, will come to us through Scripture and open our eyes and warm our hearts. We too need this work of Jesus. Thank you that Scripture testifies that He takes time with individuals to do this very thing, to teach us through the Word, to open our eyes, and to warm our hearts. Thank you that this is the case. We pray in the good name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.